ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. वी आर् डिस्कसिङ्ग् वर्स् 2 श्लोक 2 आफ् दि साधन पञ्चकम्. सङ्गः सत्सु विधीयताम् भगवतः भक्तिः दृढाधीयताम् शान्त्यादिः परिचयताम् दृढतरम् कर्माशु सन्त्यज्यताम् सद्विद्वान् उपसृप्यताम् प्रतिदिनम् तत्पादुका सेव्यताम् ब्रह्मैकाक्षरमर्थ्यताम् श्रुतिशिरोवाक्यम् समाकर्ण्यताम्. एव्रि श्लोक हेज़् गाट् 4 लैन्स्. एव्रि लैन् हेज़् गाट् 2 कमेण्ड्मेण्ट्स्. So every shloka, every verse has got 8 commandments. These are not cajoling, requesting, suggesting, but commandments for those who are astikas. In our last class, we have been discussing this particular verse. The meaning of this verse is remain in the company of the holy people, cultivate holy company, thoughts, words, deeds, books, people, etc., and strengthen your devotion to God. Cultivate the qualities such as self-restraint and give up all activities prompted by selfish desire. Approach those who are wise and holy and serve them. Seek only the imperishable being and hear the words of the scripture. In that context, step 11, that is to say, steps 9 and 10 we have completed. Step 11, Shanti Adihi Parichayatam. Develop, after cultivating the 6 spiritual virtues called Shat Sampatti, Shama, Dhamma, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhana and Uparati. These 6 are all classified under just one category, Shamadi Shatka Sampatti, the 6-fold treasures of controlling the mind, etc. We have been discussing about Shankaracharya's definition of the entire sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. Of these, what is Shraddha? That's what we have been doing in our last class. What is Shraddha? First of all, there are 2 words we use, belief and faith. And many times we use these 2 words loosely as synonymous words. But there is a lot of difference between these 2 words. What is under our control is called belief, and what controls us, what possesses us and doesn't allow us to do anything. For example, a madman is possessed by a mad idea. He has absolutely no control over that idea. This kind of possession is the result of many, many lives of leading a virtuous dharmika life. This is called Shraddha. In reality, there is no equivalent word to this word Shraddha. But we have to have some idea. Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satyabuddhya Vadharanam Sa Shraddha Kadhita Sadbhihi Yaya Vastu Upalabhyati. Acceptance with firm faith as true of what the scriptures and the Guru instruct is called by sages Shraddha or faith, and only by this Shraddha alone one can perceive the reality. We are thinking about certain examples that can come. I will briefly mention the examples of Shabari, Ekalavya, Satyakama Jabala and Latu Maras. Now let me first remind ourselves, because those who have been following my talks for many years, you should have been familiar with the story which I recounted many, many, many a time. Latu Maharaj, he was employed as a servant under one of Sri Ramakrishna's householder devotees, Ramchandra Datta, and he came into contact with Sri Ramakrishna, and the moment he came, he surrendered himself at the feet of Sri Ramakrishna, and Ramchandra Datta understood it and mainly gave the work related to Sri Ramakrishna, such as bringing the news of Sri Ramakrishna if Ramchandra was unable to visit Sri Ramakrishna for whatever reason, and sending some sweets, fruits, etc. to Sri Ramakrishna, etc. This was deliberately done to give an opportunity to Latu. Sri Ramakrishna used to call him in his village, Patpatuva, Leto, which later on, because of the intelligence of Latu Maharaj, Swamiji transferred it to Plato, Leto as Plato, because of the wisdom of Latu Maharaj. So one morning, Latu Maharaj came, and previous visit, he had nice talk with Sri Ramakrishna, but he did not know that meanwhile, Sri Ramakrishna had left for Kamarpukur for several months of recouping, recovery, whatever we call it. He came and he met Ramlal Dada, and he did not find Sri Ramakrishna. On being asked, Ramlal Dada informed him, Sri Ramakrishna is not here. But the boy won't believe it. He says, what are you talking about? Sri Ramakrishna is here. Of course, Ramlal Dada could not help himself, because whatever he tried to convey, but this boy was not ready to accept. Ramlal Dada offered him prasada because it was noon time, but he would not take until he had the darshan of Sri Ramakrishna. How can a person have the vision of Sri Ramakrishna, see Sri Ramakrishna, when he wasn't there at that place? So whole day practically passed. In the afternoon, Ramlal Dada went again to inquire, found Latu Maharaj bowing down at one spot near Panchavati again and again, and taking the dust of that spot and putting it on his head. Ramlal Dada was a little bit mystified. He asked him, what happened, Latu? And here Latu Maharaj, instead of replying, he said, who says Sri Ramakrishna is not here? Of course, Latu Maharaj never used to refer to the name Ramakrishna. Tini, he, in his peculiar Bengali-Bihari mixed language. Of course, what could Ramlal Dada say? So he guessed probably Latu Maharaj had a vision. This was the Shraddha. What is the Shraddha? Sri Ramakrishna is everywhere. He is God. He is my God. So he cannot go anywhere. He must be here. Just imagine. When Prahlada's father asked him, where is your so-called Narayana? I have been seeking. And Prahlada replied, so where is not Narayana? Show me a spot. Rest of the story we know. But this was what Swami Vivekananda very often used to convey by singing Kabirda's song, Moko, kaha dhunde re bande, mai to tere paas mein ho. O fool, where are you searching for me? I'm all the time by your side only. But why by your side? I am you. The seeker is the sought, according to Advaita Vedanta. And then we move on to the story of Shabari. Shabari was a small girl, and I narrated this story quite a number of times. And she was working along with her mother. Probably the mother died, and it was an ashrama full of saints. And the saints decided to move off from that place, which is near Pampa Sarovara today. Shabari Malai, by the way, in South India, a very famous name. Malai means mountain. Shabari's mountain, where Sri Rama came in search of Sita and met this Shabari. But the story was, the saints seeing this small girl, but they could not take her along with them, because they were wandering monks perhaps. One of them initiated and told Shabari, my daughter, you wait here and repeat this mantra. Rama himself will come to you. You do not need to go anywhere. And she had Guru Vakyesho Shraddha. She was an uneducated person. She doesn't know anything called scriptures. Whatever the Guru told, that was the scripture. And so she waited practically many, many years until she became so old. And we know that Rama visited her on the last day of her life, seeing him, feeding him with fruits tasted first by herself as a mother, and with so much of joy, Sri Rama had accepted these fruits, and looking at his feet, at the face and feet of her Ishtadevata, Shabari had attained Nirvana, Mukti. This is because of the Shraddha. And we know Ekalavya story. What is the tremendous thing about Ekalavya? Eka Lakshya perhaps has become Ekalavya. One goal. I want to become the greatest archer in the world. And he approached Drona. Outright he was rejected. Ekalavya said, I have chosen you as my guru and I am not going to give you up. You might give me up, but I am not going to give you up. He went into the forest, fashioned an image of his own guru every day, as though the guru was instructing him. And this was what Swami Brahmananda used to say, if anybody is steadfast in spiritual practices, one day one's own mind becomes the guru. Ekalavya's mind itself has become what? Guru. Guru means here not Dronacharya, but God in the form of the Acharya. And he instructed him, and we know from Mahabharata how Ekalavya even bet Arjuna with greatest ease. And what did this Dronacharya, who never did anything, what did he do? When he was asked, who was your guru? I take a little bit of fun now and then. So the Dronacharya must have got a little bit miffed that how could this young man become greater archer than Arjuna, whom I myself have chosen and I devoted all my life to make him the greatest archer. So is there somebody else who is a greater archer as well as teacher than me? Yes, my dear sir, God is the greatest archer and God is the greatest teacher. You have forgotten your own Swadharma. What am I talking about? If any disciple approaches any knowledgeable person with the greatest sincerity, that sir, I want to learn from you, and if that teacher forgets that knowledge has come from God, he is just a mere instrument and refuses to pass on that knowledge, he is committing, as per the scriptures, Brahma Hatya Pataka. Brahman means knowledge. Hatya means you are not conveying what you have been given to you, and as a result you will suffer. So this is our scriptures, greatness, generosity. You just look at it. Let it be anybody. The only condition is it must be worthy disciple, and that disciple must be absolutely one-pointed and eager to learn. If these qualifications are fulfilled, then refusal is no option at all. So we know how Ekalavya, because of his Shraddha in his guru, he became the greatest archer. So also there is a Zen story is there, that the greatest archer, a Zen master, is the greatest archer. Even without discharging an arrow, he could hit the target. Anyway, I'll share a small joke with you. There was a very famous Zen master who was also an archer. And whatever he aims at, the target will be met instantaneously for the first time. People used to be wonderstruck. So one day someone asked, sir, what is the secret? And the Zen master smiled sweetly and said, oh, do not convey this to anybody. It's only secret between you and me. First I discharge the arrow and call it a target, whatever it hits it. No, the greatest people, there is a beautiful story. There was a Zen practitioner and he was the greatest woodcutter, and he had to split wood. And when he splits wood, then that is the best way of splitting wood. And he had an axe, 60 years old. Even the slightest ruffling of the edge did never take place. Whereas other people's axes, they always constantly needed sharpening. So one day, somebody asked, what is the secret, sir? And he said, you first look intently at the wood you are going to split. You will find that there is a way, a direction in which you split. If you split crosswise, then your axe will become very dull. It will lose its sharpness. The wood will splinter and nothing will work. But if you look carefully, there is a grain running in a most positive way. Mark that one, and then I always mark and split, put my axe there. And first thing is, it is the easiest way. Second is, it just breaks because that is the natural bent of the wood. And thirdly, it requires tremendous amount of observation. There are many Zen stories about this thing. Coming back to our Ekalavya, Satyaka Majabala. We know this story. There was a young man. He was the only son of his mother, who was a widow, and the mother did not know who produced this son, who was the father of this son. That's a very bad thing in society. But he had the desire. He was the seeker of truth. He went to his mother, "I want to go to a guru." And guru invariably asks me question, "What is the name of your father?" Means, "What is your gotra? What is your jati? Are you a brahmana, etc.?" The mother said, and she was the most truthful person, "I do not know my son. I served many men. You were born. My name is Jabala. Your name is Satyakama. And that's all I know. Your name is surname, including surname, Satyakama Jabala." And this man, he knew what mother meant. And he went to the guru, and when asked, he repeated, "Sir, I asked my mother. This was what my mother told me." And the guru instantaneously accepted him and said, "Such a harsh truth can come only from the mouth of a brahmana." This indicates a brahmana is one, who is a truthful person. A truthful person alone is a brahmana. We see the examples of Shudhiram, Sri Ramakrishna, and anyone who is truthful. And Sri Ramakrishna used to say, a man who observes the truth, he will realize the truth. And in this Kalikala, in this iron age, the only way to realize truth is to be truthful. Not only truth speaking in course of time leads to truth seeking. And in course of time, this truth seeking takes one to directly to truth. And there is no other way. That's why famous Indian saying, Satyameva Jayate. And this Satyakama Jabala, beautiful story. Guru instructed him, go with some cows into the forest, and when they are multiplied to 1,000, and then bring back. This is the most interesting part of the story. And he went, and he forgot the whole world, only focusing his attention on what? On only grazing the cows, protecting the cows, needs to live with the cows, needs to lie down with the cows, everything he has to do with the cows. And one day, this Satyakama Jabala totally forgot how many years have passed. So great was his observance of Guru's instruction. One day, the bull came and said, "Sir, yes, we have become 1,000. Now, you drive us back to the Guru's ashrama. And I will teach you 1/4 of the truth about Brahman." Brahman means truth. That was the purpose with which you approached this Guru, not for grazing the cows. And then Satyakama Jabala started, the bull spoke, then next day the fire spoke, and the next day two birds spoke. By the time he reached, the Guru had one look and said, "My boy, who taught you Brahman? Your face shines like Brahman." This was one of the most favorite Upanishadic stories of Swami Vivekananda. And what is the meaning of the bull and the fire and the two birds speaking? Says, when our mind becomes pure through Guru Sushrusha, then the truth which is within each one of us, it will come out, and that is the real grace of Guru or God. This is the story of Satyakama Jabala. So, one who has that absolute unwavering faith in the words of the scriptures as interpreted, as coming out through the mouth of the Guru, that unwavering faith is called Shraddha. And with that Shraddha, such a person endowed with Shraddha, he ya vastu upalabhyate, only through that Shraddha. When we have obtained that Shraddha, then inevitably Brahman will be realized. The next, we move to Samadhanam. This word Samadhanam in different languages means one meaning is answer. But here that is not the meaning. It is tranquility, equanimity of the mind. What does Shankaracharya say? Sarvada sthapanam buddhehi, shuddhe brahmani sarvada, tat samadhanam ityuktam, natu chittasya lalanam. Not the mere indulgence of thought in curiosity, but the constant concentration of the intellect or the affirming faculty on the ever pure Brahman is what is called samadhana or self-settledness. Samadhanam, sarvada, all the time, without any break. Buddhehe sthapanam, the establishment of the buddhi, that means one particular thought, where shuddhe brahmani, in the pure Brahman, on the thought of the pure Brahman. Why do I say thought? Because whatever arises in the mind is nothing but thought. Vritti it is called. If anyone succeeds, then the mind becomes pure, mind becomes absolutely equanimous. Means whether some good news come or very bad news come, he gains or he loses, the mind becomes absolutely same without wavering. The same state of utter peacefulness, complete absorbed in God, is called Sarvada Sthapanam Buddhehe Shuddhe Brahmane Tat Samadhanam, and not Chittasya Lalanam, not the indulgence. One second this thought and next second some other thought. That is to say, not restlessness of the mind, but pure restfulness of the mind. Samadhanam. And that is also means concentration. A non-wavering mind, which alone is called in Yoga Shastra as Samadhi. Next, step 12. Dridhataram karma ashu santyajyatam. Step 12. Instruction number 12. That means 9, 10, 11. We covered 3. Now for the 4th one. In the 2nd shloka. Give up, eschew all desire-ridden actions. This is the teaching of all the saints, all the sages. Not only that, even the ordinary people, little elderly people also. Why are you doing these useless things? And very strange to say that the modern officers also do not allow their people. They have got what you call a testometer. They will be testing. They are not allowed to use this mobile phone or laptop to go on surfing the internet, to talk with their friends, etc. They are keeping an eye. Everything is monitored. And the whole world, in fact, is being monitored now. This is what we call stealing of the data, or the big brother is watching, by whatever name you call. This privacy is a matter of the past, most of it. So somebody asked me, Swami, are you careful about your internet surfing? Many people may be stealing your data. And I said, they are most welcome. Sri Ramakrishna might enter into them if they steal my data, because it is all about spiritual talks, spiritual articles, and I do not talk much about much else. So, this is the step 12 we are doing. Dridhataram, with absolute and iron will, what should we do? Karma ashu santyajyatam, give up, eschew, renounce, what? Actions. What actions? Every action? No. Only those actions which are adharmic. This is called desire-ridden actions. How do we know what is dharmic action? What is adharmic action? Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Vivekananda gives us a most telling definition. Says any action that takes us to nearer to God is a dharmic action. And any action that takes us away from God is an adharmic action. And by definition, dharma means happiness, adharma means suffering. And that action which takes us to real happiness, not temporary pleasure, but long-lasting happiness, must be dharmic and not otherwise. According to the scriptures, and this I discussed in Vivek Chudamani also, karmas, according to Veda, are divided into 5 categories. We all know that. Nitya, Naimittika, then Nishiddha, Prayaschitta, and Upasana, or another way, Nitya, Naimittika, Kamya, Prayaschitta, Nishiddha, and Prayaschitta. Nitya, Naimittika, Kamya, Nishiddha, and Prayaschitta. All these activities should be given up in the end. But there are three particular types of actions which we have to pay attention and try to give up. What are they? Kamya karmas. Man has so many unfulfilled desires, but sometimes there may be legitimate desires, like Sudama, prompted by his wife, he visited Krishna. He never had any desire, but unable to see children suffering, his wife prompted him, please go to Krishna, he is God, he can help you. And of course, Sudama, he knew about it. In South, we call Sudama Kuchela. Chela means cloth. Kuchela means torn, old, dirty cloth, because there is no other cloth to change. So he had to take bath and somehow manage with a small piece of cloth. Very holy cloth, in other words. His Kuchela went, and then the strangest thing was, Sri Krishna received him as though his, what is called, Atidhi Devo Bhava. A guest is the greatest god manifest. Washed his feet, drank the water with which he washed Kuchela's feet, Sudama's feet, and made him sit on his own simhasana and went on fanning him. And then he fed him with royal dishes. Then he asks, what have you brought for me? Kuchela, of course, could not reply because he was tongue-tied while eating such royal dishes. How could he have the heart to offer? But he was aware, when meeting a friend, or a king, or a small baby, or a temple, or a holy man, one should not go empty-handed. Rikta hastam nagachet. Empty-handed, one should take something, whatever is possible. Remember the story, Shankaracharya went to the house of a widow, unbeknown, and she wept. She had only one dried amalaki, and she gave it to him. And then he took pity upon her and praised Mother Lakshmi in a most mellifluous Sanskrit language, which has come to be known as Kanaka Dharastavam, and golden amalakis had rained in her compound. All her poverty has been removed. But then what we do not understand, we do not think further what happened. How did she spend her money? She must have become very rich. Even one amalaki worth of gold would have fetched a lot of money. And there was a plenty of, maybe one basket full of, just like Krishna, I remember, a fruit seller came. And then the parents, they bought some mangoes and gave her in exchange what she required. Then Krishna, with small hands, he takes a few pebbles. He makes us think that was just pebbles, that was real money. Went and said, you give me mangoes. I won't take freely, but this is the payment. That lady went on looking at his face and she said, give me that precious money from your hands. And she filled her hands with beautiful fruits and put it, which even Krishna could not hold. Some were falling. This lady went home and then she emptied her basket where she kept those pebbles. They were no more pebbles, but they were golden pebbles because they came from the hand of Bhagavan Krishna. We know so many miracles have taken place, and in case we are likely to think these are all cock and bull stories, we know that Sri Ramakrishna also fulfilled the desires of so many of his disciples. A famous story is one of his young disciples. He came and Sri Ramakrishna asked him, and what do you want? He said, I want money. You bring jalebi. I will eat your jalebi and I will eat your alakshmi. And that's what the young man did. And he became a multi-millionaire later on. And I had the greatest good fortune to meet his wife, Bhavatarini Devi, at Varanasi. So, what is the name of this young man? Upendranath Mukhopadhyaya. So, even now, it is possible with Shraddha, you recite Sri Suktam or Kanakadharastavam, and I guarantee you that by God's grace, anybody can become rich. But take care, if you are rich, don't do that. It's only for people who really need that. Coming back, so Nitya Karma, that is a most wonderful point. Every day get up and wash yourself, do your regular japa, meditation, puja, offering of something to God, at least a little bit of candy if nothing is there, and do not start your day without eating a little bit of the prasada. Ramakrishna used to say, keep a little bit of Jagannath prasad, and every day you eat one grain, your mind will become very, very pure and it will be filled with true bhakti to God. So, studying scriptures, talking about God, puja, visiting temples, holy places, and doing good activities, these must be part of the Nitya Karmas, Naimittika. from our spiritual point of view, Naimittika means there are so many festivals. Krishnashtami, Guru Purnima, Ganesha Chaturthi, Durga Puja, and Holy Mother, Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Vivekananda, Kali Puja, and Kojagar Lakshmi Puja, Saraswati Puja. So many festivals are there. These are called Naimittika. They come on a particular day, special day. That day, we should try, if we wish to attain the fourth Parama Purushartha, only Purushartha of course, not only fourth, that Mukti, and if we want to attain Bhakti to God. These are what we need to do. This is called Naimittika. Then Kamya, that means if some householders have got, I do not have children, I do not have, some lack is there, they have a right to pray to God. They have no right to be disappointed because karma phala will come sooner or later. So these kamya karmas, but for devotees, kamya karma is that I want to become a good devotee and that is the only desire I have, and every now and then pray earnestly, going into solitude. There are some karmas, they are called Nishiddha karmas. And we all know what it is. Do not speak untruth, do not injure anybody, and do not behave immorally, adharmic way of life. But even if you have desires, Lord Krishna tells in the Gita, Dharma aviruddhesh bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. Desires not opposed to dharma, that is absolutely acceptable. And not only that, they will, in course of time, lead us to the highest goal. So, Nishiddha karmas, we have to be very careful. Read the gospel, read what you call the gospel of Bhagavan Buddha, imitation of Christ, Bhagavad Gita, so many Nishiddha karmas. We all know more or less, we have to try our level best. Then, of course, unconsciously, many of us, either unconsciously or because of the force of past samskaras, we might slip now and then. Immediately, for that we have to do some kind of prayaschitta. That is also available. Prayaschitta means some atonement for certain actions we have done. These are the five karmas. Of them, get rid of whatever action doesn't lead us to God. That action, slowly, by degrees, we have to reduce. This is what is said, that you just renounce these things. Sanyasya sarva karmani bhavabandha vimuktaye yatyatam panditaihi dhiraihi atma abhyasa upasthitaihi. Reduce your activities which do not conduce to our spiritual progress, but at the same time, as we reduce unnecessary activities, we get more time. Mind also will become a little more free. So what should be done? Atma abhyasa upasthitaihi. Use that time for increasing our spiritual life, for progressing in bhakti, thinking about God, reading good books, discussing good books, etc. So Sri Ramakrishna's beautiful teaching is there. What does he say? Together with this, you must practice discrimination. Lust and gold is impermanent. God is the only eternal substance. What does a man get with money? Food, clothes and dwelling place, nothing more. You cannot realize God with its help. Therefore, money can never be the goal of life. That is the process of discrimination. Do you understand? This was the teaching Ramakrishna was giving to M. And then he added, pray to God earnestly, O Lord, reduce my activities so that I will be able to use that available time to think more about you. So, now step 13. Sadvidvan upasrupyatam. Approach a great guru, sadguru, and take shelter. Surrender yourself to him. And whatever he instructs you, you put it into practice faithfully and with patience, perseverance, but with nishtha. Nishtha means that even one single day should not pass without practicing what the Guru tells us to do. Ataha vimuktiyaihi prayatet vidvan sanyasya bahyartha sukhas pruhasan santam mahantam samupetya desikam tena upadishta artha samahitatma. Therefore, a man of learning should strive his best for liberation, having renounced his desire for pleasures of this world, duly approaching a good and realized preceptor, and fixing his mind on the truth inculcated by him. What should he do? Strive for liberation. Ataha vimuktyai prayatita. Vidwan means a wise spiritual aspirant. We are not talking about a pandit, but a discriminating spiritual practitioner. He must strive his level best, using his time and energy for the purpose of realizing God and become free. What should he do? Sanyasta bahya artha sukhas prahasan. All the pleasures that he had enjoyed before and remaining in the mind in the form of strong samskaras or habits, he must try to give up at least little by little. Then what should he do at the same time? Samupetya santam mahantam desikam. Samupetya, approach with the greatest humility. Santam, a very great soul, very good person. Good means an embodiment of goodness. Satpurusha. Mahantam is a great realizer, spiritual person. Desikam, and he has got that special power to convey what he realized to others also. Deshika means Disham Darshayati Deshikaha. One he shows, this is the right path. Such a person is called Deshika, another name for Guru. Tena, by that Guru, Upadishta Artha Samahitatma. With the greatest attention. Samahitatma means greatest attention, greatest concentration, with the greatest remembrance. Tena Upadishta Artham. Whatever he instructed, this is your goal, this is your path, and this is how you progress, and then put it into practice. Now the question comes, but who is a real guru? Swami Vivekananda, of course, every scripture gives us, well, we will discuss about it briefly. Swami Vivekananda tells, a real guru must manifest three characteristics. What are the three? He must be Brahmanishtaha, he must be Srotriyaha, he must be Akamahataha. Brahma Nishtaha means the realizer established in Brahma. Then Shrotriya, he must be well versed in scriptures, because if such a person has to become a teacher, then he should know what the scriptures are teaching. The scriptures teach so many paths, not one path, jato mat tato path. As many people, so many paths. As many people, so many faiths. As many faiths, so many paths. So, such a person, he is a Shrotriya. Not only that, he should be able to explain to the disciple clearly in a way that the disciple could really understand what he wants to convey. Otherwise, simply says, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, and this fellow, whatever little desire he had for spiritual life, that will also disappear. This is the second qualification. He must be a man of realization. He must be well versed and endowed with the greatest amount of rationality, reason, to convince others. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, if a man wants to kill himself, one small blade will do, even a nail cutter will do. But if he has to kill others, swords and shields are necessary. What does he mean? Means, if I have to be convinced, even one single teaching of a guru is sufficient. But if I have to instruct other people, and I have to come down to their level, understand his mentality, and in the language understandable to that person, we will have to convey that message. These three qualities, Brahmanishtaha, Shrotriyaha, Akamahata. What is the third one? He must not have any motive. Even the worst motive is, I want to ride over this fellow. I want to use this fellow because I am the guru and you are the disciple. No, he doesn't expect anything. Nothing? Does he expect nothing? Yes, he expects 100% one thing. What is it? Let my disciple realize the truth and become free. Only then I will become free. So, Shankaracharya is describing to us, in such a sweet language, Sanskrit language, I don't know any other language is capable of describing in such a concise, precise way as a Sanskrit language. Truly, it is not merely a flattery of Sanskrit language, but Sanskrit is such a language where one can express certain ideas in the most precise manner without beating about the bush. For simple example is Brahma. Nowhere in this world, if you go to any philosopher and ask him, what is your definition of God? Go to encyclopedia, what is the definition of God? And all that they describe and much, much more is comprised in this word Brahma, Atma, Guru, Shishya, Sadhana, Siddha, Sadhya, etc. So, what is Shankaracharya is telling us? So, first of all, what is the nature of this Guru? Shanta Mahanto Nivasanti Santo Vasantavat Lokahitam Charantaha Tirnaha Swayam Bhima Bhavarnavam Janan Ahetunan Api Tarayantaha. There are some great souls, good souls, calm and magnanimous, who do good to others without expectation, as does the spring, Vasantavat, and who, having themselves crossed this Bhima Bhavarnavam, dreadful ocean of birth and death, samsara, help others also to cross the same. How? Without any motive whatsoever. And then, why do they do it? Do they expect anything? No, they do not have any motive excepting, I am enjoying, let others also enjoy. In fact, funnily it is said, really he doesn't help anybody. If he helps anybody, it is purely selfish. Why selfish? Because there is no other. The whole world is none other than his own expression, himself. But that is a great idea which we need to think. So, Shankaracharya is continuing. Ayam svabhavah svatayeva yat parashrama apanoda pravanam mahatmanam sudham sureshah swayam arka karkasha prabha avitaptam avatikshitim kila. What a beautiful expression. This is the very nature of the magnanimous Gurus, Sadguru, to move of their own accord towards removing others' troubles. Here, for instance, is the moon who, as everybody knows, voluntarily saves the earth, cooling it, parched by the flaming rays of the sun. Just look at the moon. He is called Shitamshu. Absolutely, in a scorching day, and then comes here the moon, and he cools the earth. He cools everybody's body temperature. Not only that, he grows all the nourishing food. It is believed in Ayurveda, in the scriptures. That's what Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter also tells, that in the form of the moon, all the Ushadhis grew, and only the medicine extracted from these Ushadhis, that will be the most effective remedies for many of the diseases. So according to Ayurveda, you can't go and collect any of these plants, etc., any time you want. There is a particular time. But the growth and the remedial effect comes only because of the moon. So this is the nature. Swami Vivekananda used to say, in answer to a question, is a guru necessary at all? He used to say, an unlit lamp can be lit only from a lit lamp. What is this lit lamp? And that is a realized soul, a Sadguru. Otherwise, what happens? An unenlightened guru trying to instruct avidyayam antare vartamanaha svayamdhiraha panditam manyamanaha janganyamanaha pariyanti mudaha andhenaiva niyamanaha yathandaha. Like the blind leading the blind, both of them will fall into the ditch. By the way, here when we are talking about the blind people, we are not talking about physically blind people. These blind people are greatly learned people. They are great pandits, of whom Sri Ramakrishna used to say, they soar so very high. That means they talk so high. But where is their sight fixed up? Below, far below, in dirty places, on the rotting corpses, charnel pit. That means these are not really physically blind people, but mentally, morally, aesthetically, and spiritually blind people. Sri Ramakrishna has emphasized like anybody else. Is a guru necessary? Swami Brahmanandaji was once asked, "Sir, because we are living in a modern world, we think by reading books, even Upanishads, we can be enlightened. It's absolutely impossible." So one devotee or disciple approached, "Is a guru necessary?" And he gave a very funny answer. "Even if you want to become an expert pickpocket, you need a guru. What to speak of this almost impossible vidya, the science of God realization, Brahma vidya." So Sri Ramakrishna used to say, "Please be initiated by a guru as soon as possible." So what is the need of a guru? A neighbor is asking Sri Ramakrishna, "Sir, then householders too will have the vision of God, won't they, Master? Everybody will surely be liberated. Here is the special message of Hinduism. Each soul is potentially divine. Everybody will surely be liberated. But there is a caveat, condition. One should follow the instructions of the guru." Immediately doubt will come. "But who is a guru? Anybody and everybody?" "No." The master says, "Anyone and everyone cannot be a guru. Therefore, in every age, God incarnates himself as the guru to teach humanity." And then finally he says, "Do not feel that a guru is a human being. Satchidananda alone is the guru. True guru is that power of God. The power of knowledge, the power of enlightening comes only from God. That is why the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan says, I am the Veda Krit and I am also Veda Karta. I am the knower of Vedas. I am also the creator of the Vedas." By the way, Veda means knowledge. Guru is absolutely necessary. Without guru in any field of life, it is not possible. We might progress a little, but we cannot progress finally without a guru, especially in spiritual field. We will discuss these beautiful points in our next class, day after tomorrow. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhur. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.